Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I have to begin by saying this apparently is not one of the days in which my brain is in sync with my body. I left my copy of the lectionary back there when I write my notes in the lectionary for the sermon, so we'll be using this today. It's fine. I also said this is the word of the Lord after the Holy Gospel, and I forgot my pectoral cross, so forgetful. But you know what? Christ is still risen, and his gospel goes forth. Even if I was wearing blue jeans covered in mud, not those cost $499 at Abercrombie and Fitch sale, but the gospel of Christ goes forth to us. And that gospel comprises all sorts of things. Of course, the forgiveness of sins and life eternal is central, but we have gained access to this grace, God's grace, through faith. A faith given to us by the Holy Spirit working through the gospel, a faith sustained in us as the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the gospel and through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This faith is faith in a gracious God, a God of mercy and love and compassion. This faith is not in a God who beats us up and leaves us lying in the mud and walks away from us, doesn't care what happens to us. Rather, this faith is in a God who, you could say, on the cross beat his son up and left him lying in the mud and walked away from him. My God, why have you forsaken me? This faith that we have in a gracious God is a gift of the gospel. You have faith in a loving, kind, heavenly Father. You pray the Lord's Prayer, I don't know how many times a week, but you certainly pray it in our services. And it's good to pray the Lord's Prayer. Christ gave this prayer to his apostles, and it has been given to the church. And Lutherans and other liturgical churches cannot get together in the divine assembly without praying the Lord's Prayer. Again, it is a special prayer. The introduction, "Our Father who art in heaven," tells us in the catechism about this Father we have in heaven. What do these words mean? Well, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. Not everyone has had a good earthly father. In fact, there is no such thing as a perfect earthly father, but admittedly, some are worse than others. But it's not that way with God, our Heavenly Father. It's not that way with the one who gave his son, that through him you have forgiveness of sins, you have been reconciled to God, you have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, your Savior. No, this God is a God who invites you to come to him in prayer, to bring your petitions and requests to him, again with all boldness and confidence that he loves you, he hears you, and that he will answer your prayers in the way that he knows to be best. Jesus speaks of prayer in today's gospel reading, and prayer is also a big part of the other two readings. for today, the sixth Sunday of Easter. We have in the Old Testament the people who have become impatient. They are in the wilderness. They miss the foods that they had in abundance in Egypt. God is feeding them with manna from heaven, and frankly, they have grown sick of it. So they turn upon Moses, and by turning upon Moses, they have turned upon the Lord God Himself. The Bible follows the pattern of sin and judgment and then forgiveness, or you could say law and gospel. And we have the sin on display here. The people come to Moses, griping to him, complaining against the Lord God. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. The people recognize the judgment that has rightly come upon them. And so they came to Moses and they confessed their sin. "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you." And here's the word: "Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses is the leader of the people of God in this passage, does pray to the Lord, and the Lord tells him to make a fiery serpent and to put it up on a pole. And everyone who is bitten by one of these writhing, crawling, venomous snakes, he is to look upon the serpent on the pole. And when he sees it, he shall live. Behold, it works. What the Lord God commanded Moses to do to save the people from the snake bite of sin, the snake bite of death, works. You could say that for them, in this circumstance, for this moment, the serpent made and placed up before the people by God's command became a means of grace for them. The Lord God heard Moses' prayer, and the Lord God responded in the way that he knew to be best. Paul in 1 Timothy urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people. And certainly we do that in the prayer of the church. To those petitions of the prayer, you will respond, "Lord, have mercy," or one of the other responses. Together, we are the people of God, praying not just for us, but outside the four walls of this church, for our church body, for the whole Christian church, the church Catholic. We are praying for unbelievers. We are praying for the enemies of God. We pray for those in high governmental positions. Oh, my brain's mad. And why? That we, by God's grace, may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. "This is good," Paul writes. "It is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." The truth that there is one God and that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that prayer is difficult? Have you ever noticed that sometimes you lack the words to pray? Have you ever noticed that you will say to yourself, "Well, I'll pray in half an hour," and half an hour passes and you're caught up in something else, and so your prayers are neglected? I don't think this is true for those who use portals of prayer, by the way. Joke. Well, how do you pray? You pray in Jesus' name, which means to pray through the one who acted to save you from your sins. You pray through faith, in faith, in the one who died and was raised again for you. The hymn of the day we just sang, the first five verses, of course, is Luther's rendition of the Lord's Prayer set to a hymn. And that gives us a clue as to how we can pray. The Lord's Prayer. Christ has given His church and you the Lord's Prayer. It is the perfect prayer. It is a prayer that Christ taught His disciples to pray and that we ourselves pray. It contains everything. Everything we need, everything we need to ask for. Yeah, in general terms, but for example, give us this day our daily bread, or more accurately, give us this day the bread that we need. By praying this petition, you recognize that God is the giver of the earthly gifts you need. And you're praying, asking that He would teach you to be thankful for those gifts. The Lord's Prayer is a good way to pray. A wonderful prayer. And in the early church, that prayer was prayed, I believe it was 6 times a day. Yes, when the Christian woke up mid-morning, at noon, at mealtime in the evening, and then before bed. I think that's only 5. The prayer the Lord has given us is intended to be used. And remember, you call upon your Father in heaven when you pray this prayer, and He has tenderly invited you to come to Him as dear children come to their dear Father and ask of Him the things that you need. The Apostles' Creed can itself be a prayer. The hymns of the church can be prayers. Indeed, in the sermon hymn, we had the Lord's Prayer set to music. The liturgy itself is a prayer. As we gather as the people of God to thank the Lord for the gifts that He gives us in the liturgy. He gives the gifts and we respond with prayer and thanksgiving. Whenever I see an ambulance racing somewhere, I saw 3 yesterday, I always cross myself and say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know the situation, but I do know that there is apparently some need, and the Lord God, the omniscient God of all, knows exactly what that need is. Luther, in the Large Catechism, says prayer doesn't have to be something long and involved. Those of you who have had children, don't wait until your child has a perfect mastery of the English language to provide that child with what he or she asks for. When my brother was just a toddler, he would ask for water, saying, "Wawa, wawa." And my mother did not say, "You'll get some water when you can learn to properly pronounce the word." God does not hear you because the beauty of your words or the fluency of your words. He hears you because you are in Christ. So as Luther says, a simple prayer can be, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. God, forgive me. The point is, as Christians, we are to have an attitude of prayer. Paul says, pray unceasingly, and you would think you would not get anything done if you prayed unceasingly. That means be ready to pray at all times, as you see a need, as you have a need, as you need help in forgiving someone, as you need help when you are sick or ill, or a loved one is sick, as you near death. God has given us a wonderful privilege, and Jesus commands us to pray. He commands us to pray because he knows it is good for us. God speaks to us in his word, and we speak back to him in prayers based upon that word. Christ hears the Lord's Prayer because he taught us to pray that way. He doesn't say, I'm sick of hearing that. I wish I'd never told the disciples and Matthew had never written it down in Scripture. No, he delights in that prayer. So pray. Pray as a redeemed child of God. Pray as one who has been received into the family of the triune God through holy baptism. Pray as one who has fed the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood in Holy Communion. Pray as one who has a Heavenly Father who invites you to come to him with all boldness and confidence. Not because you're worthy, not because you're holy in and of yourself, but because of Jesus, knowing that God hears your prayers and he welcomes him. God speaks to you in his word, and you speak to him through faith after hearing the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.